Oh my goodness. Hello, everybody. What the hell? We are back. We are back for another week. Oh my God. I missed last week. And I don't know. I feel like kind of a fraud when I say new episodes every Monday and then there's not an episode on a Monday. I'm like, oh no, like one of my 26 subscribers is going to try to cancel me. And that would just kind of be the end. That would be the end of Olivia's Obscura if we got a cancellation. Okay, I'm going to drink. Here, let's do some beverage ASMR real quick. I have a ginger lime poppy. Ginger lime is my second favorite flavor. My first favorite flavor is raspberry rose. And then my third favorite flavor is probably the like vintage. Is it Olipop or is it Poppy that does the vintage cola flavor? Because I really like that one. And for the Dr. Pepper inspired one, the Olipop one, I don't like, but the Poppy one, I do like. So I don't know like kind of what's the difference there, but there's something going on. Here we go. Ooh, yes. Over ice, obviously, over a big cube. Duh. Can you even hear that? That wasn't as loud as I thought it was gonna be. So good, just so refreshing. And the ginger one, the ginger lime one really does help my tummy. Like if I'm having a bad tummy day and I pour myself a ginger lime poppy, like we're kind of cruising from there on out. Anyway, oh my God, I feel like because I was fully intending on recording an episode last week. So I like have an agenda. I keep an agenda throughout the week of like things that happen or things that I need to discuss. Just keep it in a notes app on my phone. And this week's agenda has gotten a little bit unruly because it's actually 2 weeks of agenda. You know, there is a plane flying over like so loud. Oh, that's a helicopter. That's why it's so loud. The chopper. I don't know. It might not go away. That is one thing that when I moved to California, the kind of increase in the amount of helicopters that kind of exist, or just the presence of helicopters in my daily life, like severely increased because like in Portland, and I don't know if this was just like where I lived in Portland, this never happened, like because it was maybe more of like a suburban area, like they didn't do this, or maybe this is like a California thing, I don't know, but like they do this, it shocked, the first time that this happened, like when I had first moved here, I like really thought that I was in like grave danger and that I needed to like go on lockdown because they'll fly a helicopter over your neighborhood, like if there's like a perpetrator or like some kind of like criminal or like break, like some kind of like, if there's any kind of like criminal like out on the loose in your neighborhood, which like, I'm not just, that's, I like don't live in a neighborhood that has like, like, I don't know, like when I, because like, yes, this does happen frequently, but also I like criminals aren't a daily part of my life. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a victim of like petty crime in my day to day. But like at least every couple months, there's a scenario where there's a helicopter that circles over the area of the neighborhood, like where the person is. Like it's usually like a break and enter situation, I think, but I don't know, it's tough to say because of the reason I'm going to tell you. So they circle the helicopter around and they give you a description of the person that they're trying to find. So they're like, you know, this, it's a white male, 6 feet tall, 200 pounds, wearing a white hoodie and black pants or something like that. But because it's coming from a helicopter loudspeaker, you actually cannot decipher a single fucking word they're saying. And it's so funny because when it happens, all of my neighbors, or not all of them, but the ones that are home, like we all kind of like open our doors and pop our heads out. And we're all like, do you know what he's saying? like, do you know what the helicopter's even saying? Because it is so hard to understand. And it's so funny because they're obviously spending, like, that comes out of the city budget, right? Like, to fly a helicopter around for sometimes hours, like, to distribute this message to people, like, that can't be cheap. And also, it's not effective because no one can understand what the hell they're saying. Like, do you remember the Charlie Brown cartoons where when he talks to someone on the phone, it's just kind of like, wah, 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 wah. That's exactly what it sounds like when the helicopter is trying to describe to you the perpetrator of a violent crime in your neighborhood. And I'm like, there just has to be a better way. Like, there just has to be a better way to do this. Like, we live in a society that has an Amber Alert. Like, that technology exists. Why can't they just send a notification to everyone's phone that lives in the area? Like, with the description of the person that you're supposed to stay away from. Like, I don't know, like, that, we have that technology for other things. But why are we still deploying helicopters to deliver messages that no one can decipher? I don't know, just kind of a thought. Like, San Diego Police Department, LA Police Department, any of the other police departments that kind of do this, first of all, fuck you. First of all, fuck you. And second of all, some constructive criticism. I have a lot of non-constructive criticism for you, but some constructive criticism would be maybe rethinking the helicopter system when it comes to distributing mass messaging to geographical regions. Anyway, back to business. Just to kind of give everyone a bit of a context about what I'm doing outside of this here podcast. I found out a couple weeks ago that I got accepted into like a local brick and mortar marketplace as a vendor. And this will be the first time that I will be like selling my stuff in an actual like store that has a, like, it's going to be like my dedicated vendor space within the store. It's called Sea Hive Station. For all of you San Diego baddies out there. There's a few locations, but I think they're like their biggest shop, or at least their like first shop, is in Liberty Station. And I went there like right when I moved here, and I was fucking obsessed with it because there's just like, I think there's like more than 150 different vendors in this space, and it's like this giant store, and there's all these little kind of vignettes that different makers and vendors curate, like to be their own little mini storefront, like within the store. And it's kind of like a consignment situation. And I kind of like had, like, right when I like went to CIV Station for the first time, I was like, I don't know, like, this is like kind of lit. And if I could ever sell my stuff in here, like, I've made it. You know what I mean? But I've been doing, they also host these monthly pop-ups outside. So in their parking lot, they shut down the parking lot once a month on the second Sunday. And they invite vendors to come and like do little booths there once a month. And so I've been doing that since December. And the lady who runs the indoor marketplace, and the store, and she's kind of like, I think she's in charge of just like all of the vendor curation. Last month, after the February 2nd Sunday pop-up, she emailed me and was like, hey, are you at all interested in being a vendor in Sea Hive Station? We think your stuff would like fit in really well with what we have, and there's no one right now that does their own block prints, and I think your stuff would like do really well here. And I got that email and I was like, oh, me? Me? You want me? And so I was obviously like trying to be cool. And I was like, oh my God, like, yeah, I would love to do that. Obviously. So I went and looked at the space the week later, and it's just a little 4-foot table because there's different, they charge you a little bit of rent, like a monthly rent on top of a consignment percentage. So the bigger your space is, obviously, the more your rent is going to be. I just don't have that large of an operation. Like, I am but a girl. I can only make so much stuff at one time. So I just have like a little 4-foot table that I can do literally whatever I want with. It's like a round table. And so I have been planning that out for the past couple weeks. And I needed some displays like for my printed clothing and for my art prints that I wanted to build custom, because I just wasn't finding anything online that was already made that was gonna work. Nothing was sized correctly. Like, a 4-foot table isn't that big, so I have to work pretty strategically and I have to build up. So because I only have so far that I can move out. So I have kind of been like locked in to that for the past few weeks. And Ty helped me build a couple of displays for my crewnecks and for my prints and greeting cards and things like that. And also on top of that, I've been having to like really bolster up my inventory. So I have been making so many prints. I've been like printing and getting my inventory all into their online system and making all sorts, because right now I only sell stuff like on my website and at my like once a month pop-up. So I needed a better way to like track inventory and stuff now that I'm going to be selling things out of multiple spots, like on my website and in person. So I've been like not even reworking. I've been building from scratch, like all these spreadsheets to track my inventory and track my pricing. And it's just been taking up a lot of time. I move into the vendor space on March 16th. So after that, I won't have all this initial stuff to do anymore. I'll just have to keep up with what is selling, you know, week to week. So I won't be having to like print all of this stuff all the time. I'm not going to be as busy as I am now come the week after next. So that's amazing. And I should be able to get back on my podcasting grind, because I woke up this morning and I was like so excited to record my podcast. I was like, oh my God, like I get to yap again. I just get to sit down and yap, and like, it's so fun. Like, it literally is so fun. I was cracking up because you guys know this. If you listen every week, you know that I have been like working from home, like self-employed, like not having any kind of like, I was going through a really slow period from like December through like February, or even before that, really, like even in the fall. And then within the same week, I started working my new receptionist job, which is only 20 hours a week. I only work 4 hours a day, Monday through Friday at that job. So it's not like a big time commitment. But then that same week is when I found out that I was taking over the vendor space in Seahive Station. So I was like, okay, like when it rains, it pours, you know, we got to do what we got to do. But I've been going to work from 9:30 to 1:30 and then coming home and basically working on art stuff after work. So that has been my truth for the past couple weeks. And everyone feels sorry for me because my life is really hard, obviously. But I've been at my new job for like a month-ish now, probably. I think I started on like February 12th. And I really like it. I actually like it a little bit too much. And I think it's because like it is such a low time commitment, and it is such a like, I mean, for reference, like I'm their only employee. So I'm the only, you are now my elite employee. I am the only person on staff other than the doctors that own the practice. So, you know, like I don't have to, it's kind of like I run the show. You know what I mean? Like, and I obviously like, I'm going to like die if my bosses listen to this, because like they might, I don't know, but they obviously run the show. Like it is their, like they do everything. But when it comes to the front desk, like that's my domain, you know, and like that's my castle and I'm the queen. and it's my stage. It's my stage. The world is but a stage, and I'm but a performer. And I'm, you know, it's such a fun job for me, because the tasks themselves are very, like, very within my skill set, you know? Like, I'm good at setting appointments for people. I'm good at keeping everything organized. I'm, like, none of it is, like, super challenging for me, which is exactly what I want from a job. Like, I challenge myself in every other aspect of my life. Like, I challenge myself with my business, with my art stuff, like, whatever. I do not need to be challenged at my day job, respectfully. And I know some people would, like, really disagree with that, but personally, I am not looking... Something that I'm looking for in a job is not to be challenged. I'm looking for something that I am good at, that my skills fit into, and a job, most importantly, where I can yap. And being a front desk receptionist at a small chiropractor practice is literally, I can be the mayor of Yapville there. I get to shoot the shit. I get to do little jokes with the patients. I get to be like, I don't know, like, I get to set the mood. Like, when they walk into the lobby, I'm the first person they see. And, like, I get to set the whole mood of their like, appointment. And how incredible is that? I've never been a receptionist, and now I'm kind of like, damn, like, should I have been a receptionist, like, for all of these years that I've been working? Because it's kind of like... It's kind of for me. Like, it's kind of a job for me. I feel like every day is an opportunity to go in there and perform and put on a show and make people laugh. And, like, that is... Because I am, like... The older I get, the more I realize that, like, I do love an opportunity to perform. Like, not on the stage, like, in social situations, like, I love to make people tee-hee. I love to make people laugh. I love to, like, get people involved in a conversation. And I just kind of get to do all of that stuff from behind my keyboard at a front desk. And it's a standing desk. So I get to, like, stand there and, like, I don't know, I feel like I'm on stage, like, doing a little stand-up routine, but I'm not. I'm behind the desk scheduling someone's next visit. I don't know. That's just kind of my truth. And I was actually reflecting on this with Montana the other day. I was like, I used a different example because I went to a new coffee shop in my neighborhood the other day, and I know the owner because I used to do art pop-ups at his other shop. And so I know him. I've known him for a couple years, and he just opened a new shop, like, right by where I live. And so I was obviously thrilled. And oh my God, it's called Good Omen Coffee, for everyone wondering. It's in University Heights in San Diego, but I do have a couple of, like, prints and keychains and stickers for sale there too. So I was going the other day to, like, drop off some prints, for my little, like, shelf. Like, he gave me a shelf that I could put whatever I wanted on it and sell it, and on consignment, like, the other place. But I was dropping off a couple things the other day, and I was, like, kikiing with the barista who I had just met for the first time and the owner of the shop who was also there. And it was kind of like mid-afternoon, and everyone in there was, like, working on their computer. Like, no one was talking. And so I was, like, the only person, like, talking to the people behind the counter. And we were, like, absolutely, like, having a laugh. You know what I mean? Like, we were talking, we were laughing, we were having a jolly old time. And I was so cognizant the whole time of the fact that nobody else in this cafe was talking, and they could all absolutely hear the conversation that we were having at the counter. And I was like, that's incredible. Like, that is truly where I shine. Like, like I felt like I was performing for them. And I feel like when I say that, it sounds kind of yucky because it's like, oh, you're being fake. And it's like, no, I'm not being fake. I'm being real in a way that people, that I know people will enjoy. And I think that's one of my greatest strengths. I think that I am loud, okay? I'm loud. I think that I'm funny. I think that I have good quips, like, in conversations with people. I think that I was really shining in this particular situation because, like, I knew the, like, owner of the shop, and, like, we were, like, having a little goof and a little gaff, and I was like, I know this guy, you know, and, like, none of you guys do. Like, I'm kind of, like, a celebrity. I feel like it's one of those things where I feel like a celebrity because I'm like a coffee shop celebrity. I'm like a cop. It's like when you know someone that works at the coffee shop and then you're just kind of like talking to them like a friend, where everyone else at the coffee shop talks to them like a barista, like someone serving them. Like, it's a completely different dynamic. And like, yeah, I do feel like I'm in with the cool kids, and I do feel like I'm in the know. And I do feel like when I am at the front of the counter talking to the people behind the counter and everyone else just is typing on their computer, I'm like, I know you're listening to me, so I'm gonna give you something to hear. You know, like, I'm gonna, if you're gonna eavesdrop, I'm gonna make it worth it for you. And that's just my truth. I don't know. Last week, because I was gonna put it on last week's episode, but that never happened. And I've told this story to a few people because I just found it to be like so absurd and like so comical. Like, it was one of those things that like I watched it happen and I was like, that's fake. Like, that was something that would happen on a sitcom or in like a TikTok sketch. I can't believe that I lived this in real life and I was a firsthand witness. So I just kind of think that I just have to spread the good word, you know, and I'm going to tell you the story. And this story starts one day when I was getting off of work, when I was leaving my stage, my front desk, and I was taking the bus home. So I work in this little like shopping center. And so I ran across the parking lot to the Ralph's because I was getting like, I don't even know what I was grabbing. I just had to like grab something to take home. And so I get off work at 1:30. I'm going to set the scene for you here, okay? Because I need you to kind of like be in this with me in order for you to kind of like get the full effect. So I got off work. I go downstairs. I run to the grocery store. I grab a couple things. When I leave work at 1:30, the bus that I take home gets... Okay, wait. I'm trying to set the scene here. So I'm crossing the street after I have done my little errand, and I'm heading towards the bus stop that I get on the bus at. Obviously, literally, what the fuck else would you do at a bus stop? Get a grip, Olivia. The bus stop that I get on the bus at serves three different bus lines. So it serves the 1, the 10, and the 11. And the 1 and the 11 both will get me home. The one drops me off like pretty much one street away from where I live. The 11 will also get me home. It just drops me off a couple blocks further away. But it's a very like minimal walk. So the 1 and the 11 get me where I need to go. They get me home. The 10, I don't know because I've never been on it and that's not my business. And at like one, so I get off work at 1:30, right? At 1:35 is when the 1 comes, and that's my favorite bus because that's obviously the most convenient. A couple minutes later at like 1:38, the 11 comes. And so I know that like if I get out of work and I am across the street at the bus stop at any point in time between like 1:35 and 1:38, I know that both of those buses are buses that I can hop on and get where I need to go. So as I was crossing the street this day, after grabbing what I needed from the grocery store, and it's like, it literally took me 5 minutes. So I was walking across the street and I was like, I saw a bus that was stopping. And so I signaled to the driver. I was like, hang on, like, I'm going to get on the bus. Please stop and wait for me. And so he did, because he was nice, I guess. And I have my bags, right? My grocery bags. And I'm like trying to hurry to get on this bus because I'm like mid crossing the street and it's a really big intersection. So I was like jogging across the crosswalk and I tapped my phone to pay and I got on the bus and I realized that this bus is packed. And this is a Friday afternoon that this is happening. But when I usually ride the bus home, it is like empty. Like because I leave at 1:30, that is just kind of like, I guess, not a busy time for the bus. So it's usually me and like a couple like old people who like went to Trader Joe's to get groceries and like are now going home because we also passed this senior living facility on the way home. So that's kind of like usually the demographic that I'm riding the bus with mid-afternoon on a weekday. But this bus was absolutely full to the brim. Like there was people standing, there was like people with babies. There was just like everyone in San Diego decided to get on this bus this day. And I'm like, that's weird, but maybe I've just like never ridden the bus on like a Friday afternoon at this time. And like, maybe it's just like a really busy time to be riding the bus. So there is a seat that someone got out of when I got on the bus. So I sit down, mind my business. I have my headphones in, my sunglasses on, world out. You know what I mean? Because like, I'm not trying to socialize on the bus. So I'm there, I'm looking down at my phone. Obviously I'm doing the crossword like I'm always doing on the bus. That's kind of my job on the bus, is to do the crossword. And I'm minding my business because the bus is packed. I'm obviously just trying to get home because it didn't matter if I was on the 1 or on the 11. Like I just assumed I was getting on to one of those two buses because they come at the time that I'm leaving work. And then the 10 usually comes like 10 minutes later. You know what I mean? So like, I guess the 10 just was never like on my radar. But where the bus was supposed to turn to get home, the 1 and the 11 both make the same left turn. And I look up, I felt something was off. And I look up and I look out the window and I see that we have just gone straight through the intersection. We have not made the turn that is crucial in my getting home journey. So I'm like, oh my God, like it clicks. I'm like, I'm on the 10. I've never been on the 10 before. And like, I don't know where I'm going. So I get on my app, obviously. I have this app called One Bus Away, which I don't think this is for every city, but if you're in San Diego or any of the other cities they serve, like, this app is awesome. It updates the bus's arrival times in real time. So like, because there is like the public transit app, like it's called Pronto here. And that's where you like pay your fare and you can like see the schedules and everything. But like, obviously if the bus gets off schedule, the Pronto app doesn't update the schedule, but this separate app called One Bus Away tracks all of the buses in real time. So like, that's the one that I use to kind of see where buses are, because, you know, sometimes they get delayed or they're early or whatever. So I get on One Bus Away and I look and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to like literally the entire different part of the city that I don't want to go to. And this line has like very infrequent stops for some reason. So I panic and I'm like, okay, I have to get off this bus at the next stop. So I pull the little cord to like signal to the driver that I have to get off. And we drive a couple more blocks because like the stops are spaced out very far. And where the next stop is actually fairly convenient. I just have to walk about like a half a mile to get home, which for me is like not a big deal. I wasn't carrying anything heavy. I just wanted to get home at that point. So I was like, okay, instead of like trying to transfer to a different bus, like I'm just going to get off this bus and walk home because I know it will take me 15 minutes max to get there. We're getting to the bus stop that I am going to exit at. And the way that this bus stop is situated, it is on the decline of a hill. So we kind of go up this hill. We're going up this hill that I like don't know how much of this I can really describe over an audio medium because it is very visual, but I just kind of, you're just going to have to rock with me. Okay. You're going to have to bear with me. So we're going up the hill. We reach like the apex of the hill, is that even the right word? We reach the highest point of the hill. We start going down the hill, and right as we start to, you know, descend, that's where the bus stop is. So the bus driver, like, this was also like kind of a crazy bus driver, and like, I respect it. Like, when you're driving a bus in the city, like, you just kind of have to take no prisoners, and you just have to like merge, you just have to floor it. Like, I get it. Like, nothing but respect for my San Diego MTS bus drivers, okay? They get me where I need to be. They get me where I need to be, and they do it well, okay? So he was kind of like yoinking the bus over to the stop that I was gonna get off at, and he puts on his brakes, and the bus kind of lurches forward when he does this because of the fact that we are beginning to go down a hill. So there's like this jerking kind of movement that happens that isn't uncommon on a bus, but it was something that I did take note of, because as soon as he pulled the brake and stopped the bus, and we kind of had that lurching forward movement, I heard this splash coming from beside me. And I'm sitting on like the sideways seats that like face the middle, like the subway style kind of bus seats. And to my left, I hear this splash. And so I know that it's come from the seats that are upstairs. So there's like slightly higher seats in the back. And my first thought is, fuck, like somebody just puked and I'm gonna kill myself, because I have like bus puke trauma. Like when I used to ride the bus in like elementary school, like the school bus, obviously, not the public bus, not the city bus. When I rode the school bus when I was like a little kid, there was always at least once a year one person that threw up on the bus, and I'm like a huge vomit phobe. I think there's a word for it that I always fucking forget. I think it's like omitophobia or something like this, something like that. Let me check. Actually no, fuck it, we don't fact check on this website. I have whatever the vomit phobia is, and it's gotten better over the years, but like it's still definitely an affliction that I deal with. But this was like the most traumatizing thing that would happen to me in elementary school is when someone would puke on the bus. And one year I was sitting, I think I was maybe in like third or fourth grade, I was sitting in a bus seat, and we rode three across because we were so little. So I was in the window seat, there was a girl in the middle, and the girl in the aisle threw up, and like she threw up into the aisle, and I was like, oh my God, like I'm actually gonna die. And I still remember everything like perfectly. And I was like seeing red. Like I cannot even begin to imagine the emotional state I was in as like a 9-year-old or whatever when this happened, because it was just out of this world. Like I was horrified and anxious as fuck. And so I heard this splash coming from up on the higher seats, and I'm like, oh my God, like if someone threw up, like I'm so glad I'm getting off this bus, like I need to leave. I look down and I see a white liquid gushing down the bus, because we're stopped on a downhill, right? So what I come to realize is milk is currently leaking down the entirety of the bus. And obviously this is disgusting, because people have like carts and bags and stuff like on the ground. Some lady had like her baby with her and like the baby carrier like on the ground. And so now everything has milk on it. And the funniest fucking thing about this was that as soon as everyone like heard the splash and saw the milk, because this all happened in like literally a span of 2 seconds, when everyone kind of realized what was happening, there was just this collective groan. Like, again, this was a packed bus, and everyone just kind of collectively went like, oh man, like it was so funny. So I'm like, why the hell is there milk? Like, why is there so much of it? It's not my business anyway, because I'm getting off of the bus, but like I lifted my feet off the ground because I didn't want to have like milk cascading over my chunky loafer, you know what I mean? So I like immediately get my feet off the ground. I'm getting off of the bus. He opens the doors. So I like strategically step over the milk. And as I'm like walking out the door, I see the culprit of this milk problem. And it is a man who is completely kind of slumped over in his chair, sleeping, you know, presumably. Sleeping, I was also kind of like, I don't know, like maybe he's like on some kind of substance, like maybe he's drunk. Like, I don't know, that still doesn't explain the milk, but like whatever. I'm at this point putting together a mental picture of what's happened, right? So I'm putting the clues, the context clues together, and I'm thinking, okay, so this man was definitely sitting on the bus holding an empty jug of milk for some reason. And when the bus driver stopped the bus and it lurched forward, that sent him kind of, you know, that made him kind of tip over where he was sitting, thusly dropping his jug of milk and creating this milk waterfall on the bus. But as soon as I put those two things together, I look down and I see a new substance on the ground. And it's Fruity Pebbles. It is so many Fruity Pebbles tumbling down the bus in the same fashion that the milk did. And so this adds a whole new kind of aspect to what's going on, because no longer is it just milk. It is now a milk and cereal situation. But there was a distinct separation from when the milk started pouring and when the Fruity Pebble started pouring. So it wasn't like he had a bowl of milk and cereal. It was clearly coming from two separate containers. And I just kind of clocked this and I was like, that's like really fucking weird, but I'm honestly just like getting off of this goddamn bus because I need to get off of here so bad, and this is my stop. So I get off, I'm like, that's none of my business, but like, God bless the people who have to ride this bus the rest of the way, because it's gonna smell really weird. The fact that, you know, whole full fat milk has been in every nook and cranny of this bus's floor, that's just like not gonna really bode well for everyone. So I like sent them a little prayer. I was like, T's and P's to all of the riders of the 10. Godspeed, I'm getting off. So I get off the bus and then I hear kind of this kerfluffle behind me, and because I have my headphones in, so I don't like really know, I'm not hearing specifics. But I look behind me and the guy, the milk and Fruity Pebbles culprit, has been kicked off the bus. The bus driver said, you can't be on here. You're not supposed to have foods or drinks on the bus. So like, and you now caused me a mess. So get the fuck off. So he gets off the bus and I look around. He comes like, he comes kind of like comedically tumbling out of the bus. And what I see stops me in my tracks, because in one hand, he is holding his jug of, now pretty much empty jug of milk in one hand, a half gallon, one of those jugs, red label, so I know it's whole milk. Unnecessary detail, but I just need to let you guys know that it was whole milk indeed. And in his other hand, he is holding a family-sized box of Fruity Pebbles. And I couldn't believe my eyes. You would not believe your eyes of 10 million fireflies. Like, this was a sight to behold. And I don't know why it caught me off guard so much. Like, I think it's because it was just kind of like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon on like a Friday. Like, also, like, I guess maybe I would have been like more prepared to see this kind of sight, like maybe late at night or downtown, or just like in a different scenario. But like in broad daylight, like on a weekday afternoon, like there was just something really strange about this bus scenario, right? And so I see him and he walks the opposite direction and I'm walking the other direction because I'm trying to go home. But I see him meandering away, not any other belongings with him, just to the jug of milk in one hand and the box of Fruity Pebbles in the other, the family-sized box of Fruity Pebbles in the other. And my head is spinning. Like, I'm thinking, what was, like, he was obviously eating the milk and the Fruity Pebbles. But, and I've asked a lot of people about this, because I was just kind of like, what's your take? Like, what do you think he was doing? Like, because my first thing was like, maybe he was like pouring the Fruity Pebbles, or he was pouring the milk into the bag of Fruity Pebbles. And like, then like eating the milk and Fruity Pebbles out of the cereal bag. So it's like a cohesive dining experience. But then I was like, no, it can't be that, because there was a distinct separation between the milk spilling and the Fruity Pebbles spilling. So if they had both been mixed together in the cereal bag, there wouldn't have been that separation. Like, we would have seen the Fruity Pebbles and the milk at the same time. So I'm like, okay, nix that. He had to have been doing like a glug of milk followed by a handful of Fruity Pebbles, or vice versa. So he was like kind of getting the cereal experience without, you know, a spoon or a bowl or anything like that, which I have to respect the innovation there. And at some point during this, the cereal eating experience for him, he fell asleep with the lid off of the milk and with the box of Fruity Pebbles open. And it's just kind of like honestly, I've probably thought of this happening like at least once a day since it happened. And I've told a handful of my friends about it. And it's just kind of like canon at this point. Like, because my friend Shannon, like, she also rides the bus a lot. And so every time she texts me about something that happens on the bus, I'm like, was it the Fruity Pebble guy? Like, was it him? And like, I don't know, because like a lot of crazy shit happens on the bus, like objectively crazier than this. Like, there's people who like shoot up drugs on the bus. There's people who like harass people on the bus. Like, I know that there's like way worse crimes that happen on the bus. And I think that's why this one was so funny, is because it's so like goofy. Like, it's not a crime. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a crime to have Fruity Pebbles and milk on the bus. But how humiliating to have that kind of turn on you. How humiliating to then be the person that spilled an entire half gallon of milk and an entire family size box of Fruity Pebbles on the city bus. You know, like, it is insane. And it's something that feels illegal, but isn't, you know? So I don't know. Like, anyway, I like don't really know what you're supposed to take away from that story. But it was just like one of those things where I was like, am I like in an I think you should leave sketch? Like, that is such a fake thing that just happened. It's like, it like, I wouldn't have been surprised like if that is like a character that Tim Robinson wrote for I Think You Should Leave, like a guy who rides the bus with Fruity Pebbles and milk. And then I told Montana the story and she was like, are you sure he didn't have like a camera on or like someone with him like filming a gag for a video? And I'm like, no, like he was all alone. There was no one with him. Like, he looked like he was probably unhoused. Like, this was a genuine thing that happened. It was not like a staged prank. And how beautiful is that? Like, how beautiful is it when something so comical happens that your first thought is, was it a prank? No, it was real. It was real, and that makes it all the more special, in my opinion. I'm looking at my notes app agenda right now, and one of the agenda items is just Milo Ventimiglia. No kind of context for that. And I know that I wrote that down because last week, Beyond the Blinds did an episode about Milo Ventimiglia and Jesse Metcalf, but I can't really remember like if I had a thought about the podcast or like about his blind items, because I kind of like have no like real thoughts about Milo Ventimiglia. And so I'm like really trying to rack my brain about why I could have possibly written that down. But the thing that I can think of right now is that like, Milo Ventimiglia, for those, the uninitiated, he was Jess on Gilmore Girls. And most recently he was Jack on, I think his name was Jack, on This Is Us. And when I lived in Portland, I would go rock climbing a lot. I was like really in my rock climbing bag. That was like, I say with confidence, like that was a phase. You know what I mean? Like, I don't do that anymore. And like, I really have no interest in ever picking it back up again. But like at the time, like, you know, 6 years ago or whatever, like that was my jam. Like, I was bouldering like almost every day after work. And yes, I was kind of ripped. And no, I'm not anymore. And yeah, I'm kind of bitter about that. Like, what do you mean I stopped doing physical activity and then lost all of my muscles? Like, what? What? No one told me that was going to happen. Anyway, so it was called The Circuit, the bouldering gym that I went to, and they had a few locations in Portland, in and around Portland, but I would go to the Tigard location a lot. Was it Tigard? I don't even know. I don't even fucking know what location. I think I went to the Tigard location a lot. Anyway, that is like so beyond the point. But one day I was there rock climbing and you're like, Olivia, what the fuck? Like, you started this talking about My Love Intimilia and now you're talking about rock climbing. It comes together, I swear. One day, I think this was probably like 2019. I was at the bouldering gym. I had my headphones in. I was hanging out, you know, sending my problems or whatever. What is even the words for it? Like, sending my betas. I don't fucking know. I knew all of the slang at one point, but I just don't anymore. Working on my V4 probably, or whatever the hell I was climbing at the time. I think the highest like rating that I ever sent was a V6. I think I sent a V6 like once. And that was like really exceptional for a girl like me. So I'm going to wear that badge of honor for the rest of my life, really. Despite the fact that I don't climb anymore. Maybe someday I'll go back to it. I don't know. Not holding my breath on that front. But My Love Intimilia just kind of like showed up at the gym and he was like not there to climb. He was just kind of like there to, I don't know if he was like dropping off a donation or something. Like, I don't know what his connection to the Circuit bouldering gym was or is, because this was like at a random ass, like Tigard, Oregon is like a random ass suburb, like 25 minutes outside of Portland. And so it was just like really weird because they have like a central, like downtown, like I think they have like a Southeast Portland location. And so it was just kind of weird. I was like in retrospect, like why was he at the Tigard location and not at like the like Portland proper location? I don't know. But he was there and I have like actually nothing to say about him other than that. I kind of like saw him. I was like, what are all those people like doing at the front of the gym? And I kind of like asked someone, I was like, what's going on? And they were like, oh, some like famous guy is here. And I'm like, oh, do you know who it is? And he was like, no, I don't know who it is. And so then I was like, okay, well, I have to go find out. So I would kind of like, you know, peered around. I remember like looking through the crowd of people and I like saw My Love Intimilia. And I was like, that's like actually so random that he's here right now. Because at the time, like, I think I was maybe like, I used to watch This Is Us when it came out. And so I kind of like knew it, like I obviously knew what he looked like because he looks like, I don't think I would have recognized him if I hadn't seen This Is Us, because he obviously doesn't look like how he did in Gilmore Girls now. So I was like, oh, that's the guy from This Is Us. Like, that's My Love Intimilia. That's like super random. Anyway, that was like, there's actually no takeaway from that story. There's no takeaway from that story other than one time I was like in the same like climbing gym as My Love Intimilia, and I don't know, like random, right? I don't know. Okay, let's go through all of the celebrities that I have seen. Okay, this is a short list, but I think it'll be fun. So My Love Intimilia at the Circuit climbing gym in Oregon. When I worked at Lofty Coffee, we had Tony Hawk come in. He was kind of a like semi-regular and he was like super nice. Like, I actually have only everyone who worked there, like we have only good things to say about Tony Hawk. Like, I will sit here and sing the praises of Tony Hawk all day because he was such a delightful customer to have. He was like super low key. Like, you could tell he like wasn't trying to be Tony Hawk, you know what I mean? And he does just look like a guy, but he looks like, he does look like Tony Hawk, you know what I mean? But he was low key, like always coming in. He ordered a long black, which is like an Americano. That's what we called it at Lofty. And he would always tip, like, you know, like I think he'd always tip, like his coffee was only like $3 or $4, but he'd always tip like $3 or $4 on the drink, which was awesome. And when people recognized him and they were like, hey, like, are you Tony Hawk? Like, he was always super awesome and super nice to them and like talked to them. And Yeah, he was cool. And like one time I was making his long black. This is actually a funny story. One time I was the person on the bar making his drink. And I was kind of like, hey, Tony, what's up? Because like I love an excuse to like schmooze a little bit, like especially when it comes to like famous people or like famous adjacent people. Like I'm going to kiss their ass, you know, like I'm just going to do it. Like it's just in my blood. So I was like, oh, hey, Tony, like what's up? Like, at the time, he was making these TikToks with Avril Lavigne. And I was like, I saw your TikTok with Avril Lavigne. Like, it was super cool. And he was like, oh, my God, right? Like, she's awesome. Like, she was super fun to work with. I love her. And I was like, that's so cool. And so then the conversation kind of, like, progressed. And I was like, it's funny. Or this is what happened. This is what happened. Because the POS we were using to take orders at the coffee shop pulled the names from the credit card that you were using. So like we were trained to ask people's names. We were like, what's a good name? And we could like manually put it in. If we didn't manually put the name in, it would rip the name from the credit card and manually input it. So on the drink ticket, a lot of the times we got people's like full first and last names. It was whatever names on the credit card. So I was like, talking to Tony, obviously. I'm going to first name him because we're friends, right? Like, I'm talking to Tony. And I was like, oh, it's really interesting that your, like, official, like, name on your credit card is Tony Hawk. Like, I would have thought that, like, your full name was Anthony. And he was like, yeah, it is. But, like, some of my credit cards say Tony and some of my credit cards say Anthony. And then he was telling me that, like, his driver's license says Tony, but his passport says Anthony. So at the airport, like, it's always an issue because it's, like, two different names. And I'm like, well, that's funny because, like, obviously you're Tony Hawk. Like, clearly, like, obviously to a TSA agent, like, all they'd have to do is Google him and be like, okay, yeah, that's the guy. But Tony Hawk, like, is genuinely such a chiller because he pulls out his wallet and just starts pulling out his credit cards and he holds up this one and he's like, see, like this one says Anthony Hawk and this one says Tony Hawk. And this man is just like this millionaire, man, is just like showing me his whole ass credit cards, which I loved. Like that is such a like, don't do that. You know what I mean? Like obviously if I had like a photographic memory, I could have clocked the credit card numbers and stolen his money, which I would never do. Which I would never do, first of all, because I don't have a photographic memory. And second of all, because Tony Hawk was chill and I don't want to rob him. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's just like such a funny story that I think about all the time and like retell periodically because how random to have like an actual real like famous person just be like so forthcoming with their like credit cards. Like this man pulled the wallet out of his pocket and showed me the names on his credit cards to prove that some of them say Anthony and some of them say Tony. And like, I just, you gotta love it. Like, you gotta love it. Like, I just hope that you all love Tony Hawk too, you know, because I, at this point, I'm like kind of attached to him as a person because he was just like so delightful every time that I interacted with him. You know what I mean? The other person that I met at Lofty, or there's a couple more, Tom DeLonge from Blink-182 came in a lot. Like there was a point in time where he was coming like every single Sunday and he ordered the other guy that I can think of was Scott Eastwood. And that's like, I have like no idea. Like I didn't know who Scott Eastwood, I do not, if you put Scott Eastwood in a lineup with five other men, like genuinely jury's out. Like jury's out on which one is Scott Eastwood. You know what I mean? And one morning I had opened the shop and it was really early. I think we opened at, it wasn't really early compared to when some coffee shops open, but we opened at 7 and kind of like right after we opened, like 7:05, 7:10, this group of guys came up that like looked like they were annoying rich guys who were going golfing because we did like live near, we didn't live near, what am I even saying? The coffee shop was located near like a golf course and a horse racing track and like all of these annoying rich people things. So we would obviously get a lot of annoying rich people as customers. That and the kind of like the way these guys were dressed was kind of giving like like chinos, flannel, button downs, like puffer vests, like I could only describe them as like Silicon Valley golf guys who also might be going to the horse races. You know what I mean? It was just kind of like an amalgamation of like different rich guy traits that I was seeing here. And so they all order separately. The last guy who comes up to order, I take his order, you know, this unbeknownst to me, this is Scott Eastwood. And I didn't know who he was. And because it was so early and we had only a handful of customers, like his group was the only group of customers we had at the time. So like I wasn't taking their names because I was like, I can obviously keep track of you guys. Like I'm just going to take your drinks to your table. Like I don't need to call out your name. So I didn't ask for his name, but like I mentioned before, the credit card, the name that was attached to his credit card was the name that showed up on the drink ticket when it printed out. And so I printed out the ticket, I saw it, and I was like, Scott Eastwood? Like, this is Clint Eastwood's son. And in the moment, the only thing that I could think of to say, because the only point of reference at this time, this was in 2021 that this happened, my only point of reference for Scott Eastwood was that he was in the Wildest Dreams music video with Taylor Swift. And so I like caught myself because if this happened to me now, like with like just because I've evolved a bit and I just like have more confidence and I just like say stuff like more off the cuff than I used to, I would have said that. I would have said, oh my God, Scott Eastwood, I loved you in the Wildest Dreams music video. Because first of all, it's funny. And second of all, I think that like he probably would have like said thank you, but he probably also like would have been pissed off that that was my only like reference point for him because he's been in like real movies. Like I think, well, now I know him from the Fast and the Furious franchise. He starts showing up in like 7 or 8 or something like that. And that's kind of like the only other thing I know him from. Like, I couldn't tell you any other projects that Scott Eastwood has done other than Fast and the Furious and the Wildest Dreams music video, with all due respect. But I was just thinking that, like, it would have been, like, so funny to say that to him because, like, it probably would have hurt his ego a little bit. You know, like, he probably, like, wants to be, like, a real actor and, like, or wants to be seen as a real actor who does, like, serious projects. And, like, to know that I only know him from a music video from like 12 years ago, like probably would have stung a little bit. And I don't know, like I love to make, like I would love to make a man squirm. You know what I mean? But I didn't say it. I just kind of like clocked that that was his name and moved on, made his drink because it was early and I was like, whatever. But yeah, that's my experience with Scott Eastwood. But in my experience, the one like 5 minute interaction I had with him, he was kind of a dick. He was just kind of unpleasant. And that's why I kind of just like wrote him off as like an annoying rich guy. Because that was his vibe, you know? Scott Eastwood, if you're listening, first of all, why? You know, like why? How did you find this? Second of all, don't forget to leave me a 5-star review. That is, I'm trying to think of any other celebrities or celebrity adjacent people. Oh, when I first moved, because before I moved to San Diego, I was driving down from Oregon and I stopped in LA for like a month or so because I was staying with some friends and I was just, it was the middle of the pandemic and I was just like, what else am I gonna do? Like I just like hung out in LA for a while, like masked the fuck up. I just like went to the beach. But I did see Logan Paul. That was kind of like my first, that was like an interesting omen because I was like, interesting, like the first celeb sighting and only celeb sighting in LA that I had was Logan Paul. And like, okay, whatever. Like I have this disease where I think that like, if I ever did meet a celebrity, like organically, someone that I was like actually a fan of, like I have this delusion that like we would hit it off and they would want to like be besties with me. Like I think, like I do think that if I came across, like I have this, like anytime I'm imagining a scenario where I kind of organically meet a celebrity, it's happening at a bar or like a busy restaurant where we're like both at the bar, like ordering a drink at the bar, and I look over and I realize that the person standing next to me is insert celebrity here. You know what I mean? And like, I do, because I'm a freak and a weirdo, like every once in a while, like that is like one of my shower scenarios, you know, like I go through like, what would it be if I met insert celebrity here in this situation? And obviously every time in my head, because I'm the one kind of like fantasizing about it, I'm killing it every time. So I do kind of feel like if that were to ever happen to me in actual real life, I'd be so prepared because I've rehearsed my little one-liners. I've rehearsed my greetings. Like, I think that we could maybe be cool, you know? Maybe they'd buy my drink. I don't know. Like, how sick would that be? I thought I had more like one-off celebrity encounters, but I can't think of any. But if I do, I'll do an addendum to this section of the podcast. Okay, this is Olivia from a couple hours later. I'm listening back to this, editing it, and I remembered one more, also from Lofty. This was just a craft coffee shop rife with, you know, mid to upper tier celebs, I guess, depending on... that's a really interesting question. I'm constantly fascinated by how we rate A versus B versus C list celebrities. But that's a conversation for another day. The other one that we saw at Lofty was Matt Bomer of Magic Mike fame, obviously. And I was on my lunch when this happened, so I wasn't working and I like didn't interact with him. And I actually like didn't even clock that it was Matt Bomer at first, obviously. Like it just like, I'm just like never really looking that close at people. But Montana and another one of our coworkers at the time recognized him and like got a picture with him. If maybe Montana will agree to let me post the picture of her and him on my story, but maybe not. It's a classic. But he was like super nice, apparently, like they said. And my only recollection of the moment was that I like saw him as he was walking out with his coffee. And I remember thinking, like, I just thought this was some random like businessman that worked in the area. But I remember thinking like, wow, that is like a Hollywood beautiful person. Like some people have that like Hollywood sparkle about them. And I do remember thinking like that guy is like really severely clinically beautiful. And then I found out who it was and I was like, oh my God, like that makes so much sense. That just makes so much sense. I had to put this in while I was thinking of it because I knew I was going to forget if I waited till next week. So, okay, bye. Back to the regular podcast timeline. That wasn't on the agenda, but we just kind of ended up there. You know, at this point, I've abandoned the agenda because this is my podcast and I can do what I want. And like sometimes something that I wrote down like 3 weeks ago, or at this point 2 weeks ago, like just like isn't hitting anymore by the time I sit down to record. The last bullet point is something that me and Montana were talking about the other night, and I'd be curious to kind of like crowdsource a little bit more information on this. We were talking about Thin Mints because it's Girl Scout cookie season right now, and like Thin Mints are obviously bussin', like straight up delish. And we were talking about how good they are when they're frozen and how when you are eating frozen Thin Mints, it's a completely different experience than when you're eating room temperature Thin Mints. Like there's something about what happens to them when they're frozen that you can just like pound back like a whole sleeve of Thin Mints, light work, no reaction. Like I would never sit down and eat an entire sleeve of Thin Mints if they just came out of the pantry, but they become so easy to eat in large quantities when they're coming out of the freezer. There's some scientific phenomenon going on there that I can't quite put my finger on because I'm not a woman in STEM today. But then I was kind of thinking like, that is exactly how I feel about grapes. Like a room temperature, or not even room temperature, like a refrigerated grape, I'm so ambivalent on. It's like, I don't hate it, but it's not like the best. It's not like yummy. A frozen grape, is a gift from God. Like, a frozen grape is the yummiest, tastiest treat. It becomes the most delicious texture. They're like sweeter. They taste different than a regular temperature grape. And a frozen grape is just really something incredibly special. And so we could only think of those two things of like baseline, like this, those two things are better when they are frozen than when they are not frozen. We were kind of tossing around other ideas of what are some other things that are like objectively better when they are frozen. And I was thinking like peanut butter cups, because I love a frozen Reese's peanut butter cup. And Montana came up with a really excellent kind of, she was pushing back a little bit because she was like, yes, a Reese's is delicious when it's frozen because it's thin and like it just works really well. But like any other kind of peanut butter cups, like the Trader Joe's peanut butter cups or peanut butter cups that are a bit thicker, they aren't the same when they're frozen because they like, they're not like easy to bite anymore. They're not easy like to snap into. Like a Reese's peanut butter cup is the exact right dimensions, the exact right peanut butter to chocolate ratio. So, you know, I can't say like all Reese's are better frozen because Reese's come in different shapes and sizes. And I'm thinking of specifically like the standard, like kind of thin Reese's cup. So like that one kind of didn't make the cut. So I'd be curious to know if anyone has anything that I'm not thinking of like, it's a food that is objectively better when it has been frozen. Feel free to send me a message on Instagram at ObscuraPod. I actually think this is a great place to end the podcast today. You know, I think that I've given you all a lot to think about. I've given you all the Fruity Pebble story to kind of reflect on, the frozen foods to kind of reflect on. And I hope that I've been able to enrich your day a bit. Don't forget to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. I upload every Monday. As a general rule, but on weeks like last week, things got a little busy and I didn't upload. But for the most part, I upload every Monday. And if you want to keep up with kind of the behind the scenes and some like silly, goofy, dumb content, go ahead and follow the podcast on Instagram at ObscuraPod. My stories on that account is kind of like a quasi close friends story. So go ahead and mosey on over there. I'd really appreciate it. And as usual, if you enjoyed this episode, I would be forever indebted to you if you left a 5-star rating, if you're on Spotify, if you're on Apple Podcasts, or if you just have access to Apple Podcasts, I would be like in love with you and honestly like maybe propose marriage to you if you wrote me a 5-star review. Like that's kind of as good as it gets, you know what I mean? But thanks for listening. I think 2 weeks ago we surpassed 1,000 download mark. And I started this podcast just as like kind of something stupid in the beginning of November. And like, it's crazy that every week I see more people subscribe and it's like incremental growth, right? But like, it's growth nonetheless. And like, I'm celebrating the small wins. Okay. And like, I really am like baffled that people come back to this podcast every week and listen. And so if that's you, I really appreciate it. If you just decided to listen to this episode, as like a standalone episode, maybe go back and check out some of my other episodes in my catalog. There's some good ones in there that I'm proud of. So yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Not to be like earnest. Ew, embarrassing. But yeah, I would love to hear your thoughts and I will see you again next week. Okay, bye.